Today's sermon text is from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. And if you're noticing it on the screen, you can thank Cassie Giltner for the great idea of putting that up there so people can be reminded of where it's at. Hear the word of the Lord. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture come from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. I am so thankful that you have spoke and tremble at the thought of not hearing you. Father, I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would help us in this room and those who hear, that we would hear your word. Father, I confess that my mind is on many things, and I need help. Father, I know I'm not alone, so I ask that you would help us this morning, for we do have a sincere desire to hear your word, that you would help us to hear. Protect us from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Father, please bring your kingdom and your will here this morning in the name of Jesus through preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we started sermon series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We had one sermon on who the Holy Spirit is. Who the Holy Spirit is. And the main thing we took away from this is that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that person is God Himself. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person, and that person is God Himself, Father, Son, and Spirit. He's not a ghost or a phantom being of some sort. He's the person of God. And now we move on, and we'll have many sermons on the works of the Holy Spirit. Today, the Holy Spirit speaks. I'm starting here because as I broke down, I started studying this, and I went through the whole Bible and looked at every place that the Spirit of God is mentioned, and then I got this system that nobody else would understand but my messed up brain of highlighting and showing, okay, what's going on here. And over and over and over in the Bible is God speaking through His Holy Spirit in one form or another. And we're going to see that today. And just the glimpse we're going to take a look at it today, it's going to be, it's like I'm just going to point you down this funnel. Now looking at the funnel from the small end of how it opens up, and we're going to look at three different ones, but you're going to notice how broad each of those are in the way that the Holy Spirit speaks. So, number one, the Holy Spirit speaks through the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit of God speaks through the Holy Scriptures, and I'll look at today's text for that. Peter is speaking to the scattered church, and he wants them to know that there's not any prophecies of Scriptures, anything that is speaking into the future is what he's talking about, or word from God in the Scriptures that comes from someone's own interpretation. So two things can be taken away from that. He said there's nothing in your Scriptures, no prophecy in your Scripture that is one's own interpretation. Number one, it's not the man's interpretation that wrote it. And two, it can't mean multiple things to multiple people. So I want to squash something here on this point. The phrase, well, the Scriptures mean one thing to you and mean one thing to another. There's these circumstances where you can make that true, and I understand the goal there. But when you're studying the scriptures, you need to know that God spoke through someone for a purpose, and that is how it's to be interpreted. It's not to be, what does this mean to me? What does this feel to me? What does this do to me? It's, what did God want to say through that author? And that's the interpretation. Now, what I can learn from that interpretation and what you can learn from that could be different. Like, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There's one interpretation of that, one thing that God meant in that, but it depends on if I'm a child or the parent, on how that interpretation means something to me. So I understand the meaning or what you're trying to get across if you use that phrase, but I don't think it's a helpful phrase. I think it's helpful if we constantly think God spoke something to mean something at a point in time, and then we learn from that. And so that's the first verse there. But he explains that. He grounds that with the second statement in verse 21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So none of the prophecies came from man and his will. It says none of them were produced by the will of man, but men spoke. Okay, well, that makes you sound, well, then it's coming from them. He said, no, they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, as Moses and then following, that when he spoke, it was God speaking through his Holy Spirit through Moses, right? These men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We believe that God literally worked in these men and these authors to say what he wanted to say word for word. Verbal plenary inspiration. Plenary meaning all of it. All the Bible. That he didn't give Moses or Elijah or Isaiah an idea and say, run with this, put this in a word that fits your context. No. As we're going to see, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I stood up and said, thus saith the Lord. And words were written on a scroll, or words were spoken and recorded. Now, just a very quick side note. You say, well, Moses didn't hold this book and write those words. I'll agree with you. And it's possible that men, and not only possible, but men have taking the true words of God, the original words of God, and changed them or twisted them to say something else. And so there are translations of the Bible that are not the Word of God. Okay? But when I say that we believe that God spoke through the authors, we mean the original manuscripts, and we, by faith, through God's providence in history, you can see and trust that your Bible, if you're using a good translation, and I'm not going to give you a list right now, but all the normal ones I think you would have, I'll list them. The King James is a great translation. New American Standard, ESV, NIV is good. You'll get the Word of God from it, although it's not the best in my opinion. But then you move on from there to some others. My point is you can trust God to work in what you're reading, because it's his word. Okay, over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you read something similar to this, and I just picked one out. Numbers 11:25. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him, that's Moses, and put it on the 70 elders. And as soon as the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. So the Spirit of God comes upon them and they speak, right? Nehemiah 9:30, it says it another way. Many years you were bore with them, and you warned them by your spirit through your prophets. So Elijah's warning, Isaiah's warning, Ezekiel's warning, is from God through the power of the Spirit. So when Jeremiah is writing on his scroll, those warnings are from God by your Spirit through your prophets. In fact, this idea is made very clear by Jesus in Mark chapter 12, verse 36. When Jesus says, making a point about something else, but he says, David himself in the Holy Spirit declared, and then he quotes the Psalms, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your footstool. And so he's quoting a psalm, and when Jesus is making his point and quoting a psalm, he says, the Holy Spirit spoke through David. When David wrote that psalm, that was God, the Holy Spirit, declaring. Right? So God, the Holy Spirit, speaks through the Holy Scriptures. God is the author of the Bible through His Holy Spirit. When you read your Scriptures, when you read the Holy Scriptures, if you have ears to hear, it is because God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you and giving you ears to hear. The Bible is where you can go at any time to hear a word from God. So when you read your Bible of a morning, you're in the middle of Chronicles or Psalms or the middle of the crucifixion in John 18, God's speaking to you. You're not just taking that orange sheet and putting an X and say, I did my homework. God is speaking through His Scriptures. The Bible is full of references of this, of the Holy Spirit speaking through the authors of the Bible. So point number one, the Holy Spirit speaks through the Holy Scriptures. Number two, the Holy Spirit speaks through Jesus Christ, His Son. It was Isaiah, in the power of the Spirit, who prophesied, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, of the one that would come who would say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news, bring the gospel. The Spirit of God is on me to bring the good news, the gospel. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and it even goes on. But I just want you to notice that in the prophecy about the Son of God, he says, the Spirit is on me to do a work with my mouth, preach the gospel, proclaim liberty, and proclaim the year of the Lord. When the Spirit spoke to the prophets, it was the Word of God. And as we know in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say in verse 14, that famous verse that should explode in our minds, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. This Word of God that the Holy Spirit spoke, this Word of God that created the universe, this Word of God that sustained the universe, was God and was with God and became flesh in the incarnation. And His name was Jesus. And when Joseph is confused, wondering what to do because the woman he's engaged to is pregnant, the angel tells Joseph how the Word becomes flesh. Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That this baby she's carrying, Joseph, has been conceived, not by the will of man and by the flesh of man, but by the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. The Word becomes flesh. The Spirit is there when Jesus is made public at his baptism, and we see in the Trinity this work, Jesus, the Son of God, goes into the water. John says he bore witness. He says, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. It remained on him. And as people are looking at the Son of God in the water, the Spirit of God comes down and they see him like he's a dove. And then they hear the Father God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you have God expressing and showing himself through Son and Spirit and verbally through the Father's voice in heaven. So that Jesus, conceived of the Holy Spirit, when he speaks, is the Holy Spirit speaking. John 14, 9 through 11, Jesus is teaching about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he said, don't fear, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many places, and I'll come again. But in this teaching, right after that, he says, Jesus says to Philip, because Philip's like, well, we want to see the Father. And Jesus says in verse 9, have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip? How are you confused about this, Philip? Whoever has seen me, he's talking about in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth speaking. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And the words that I say, because remember, we're talking about the Holy Spirit speaking, and he speaks through the Son. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Notice how the Word made flesh ties together words and works. And he says, believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. So Jesus is saying, what I'm saying, when I speak, you're hearing from the Father because that Spirit is in me. This is the Holy Spirit. He understood this because he read the Holy Scriptures inspired and written by the Holy Spirit who carried the prophets along. So that when he came to his hometown synagogue, in Luke chapter 4, they give him the book of Isaiah to read. And just like we have scripture readings, they had some form of scripture reading. And they have the scrolls opened up to Isaiah 61. In Luke 4, 16 says, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read the word of God. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and he found the place where it was written. So he takes it and he turns to chapter 61. And he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovering sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So he reads what I read in the prophecy speaking of him. And he rolls up the scroll in verse 20. He gives it back to the attendant. He sets down. Everyone is looking at him. All the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, read the prophecy about the Spirit coming and empowering to speak and proclaim the gospel. And he says, that's me. So when I speak and proclaim, the good news I'm speaking of is the Holy Spirit that Isaiah said would come. I'm the anointed one. So when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, spoke, it was the Holy Spirit of God speaking. Every word. Every word. So when God spoke to the world through prophets, and they wrote it down. They said, this is the Word of God. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through these prophets. It was the Holy Spirit working. And when God spoke to the world in His Son, it was the same Holy Spirit working. But Jesus ascended, didn't He? He died on the cross and He went into heaven. So we have the Bible, we have the Son of God. Does the Holy Spirit speak now? Point number three, the Holy Spirit speaks through the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit speaks through the body of Christ, the church. The day of Pentecost is the day that the Spirit fell on the people of God in Jerusalem, right? Jesus says, you go and you wait for the promise from the Father. So they go and they wait, and they're praying. And in chapter 2 of the book of Acts, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the first act of the Holy Spirit in the what we'll call the church era is to speak. Now, what they're speaking in all these languages is the good news. That's what we hear later from the crowd, the promises of the good news. And then in verse 14, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Peter, filled with the Spirit, first sermon, Christian sermon, is the Spirit speaking. And he addressed them. And he says, men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Give ear to my words. Now we're going to see that the Spirit does other things and empowers, equips, leads, sanctifies, a long list of other things that the Spirit does. But the Spirit speaks. And when the Spirit fell, people spoke the good news in the church. The first sermon, he says, he doesn't say, look at my power, look at this healing, look at raising the dead, look at this. He said, hear these words, O men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's work on the day of Pentecost was to speak God's word. God speaks through His church, the body of Christ. He gives them leaders to preach and teach. Acts 20, verse 28, Paul is talking to the elders from Ephesus, and he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. That it's the Spirit of God who speaks through the church through her elders. The Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which He obtained. So He says, pay attention to what you do and the whole flock in which God, through His Spirit, has made you an overseer. Not only does He appoint elders, but He appoints deacons in Acts chapter 3, where the gathered church picks out 7 men from among them, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom they will appoint. But the point is, where did these elders in Ephesus come from? Where did these deacons come from in the book of Acts? Well, if you remember, chapter 6, he says, you choose these deacons. And when the church spoke and said, Philip, and so forth, they're like, this is from God. Just like when we say, we come together and we say, we need a new pastor. And we get a search committee. And the search committee looks and prays and fasts. And they come with a name and they say, Hey, we think it's so-and-so. And then we asked you all, for those of you that was here, say, we want you to pray and fast because we think it might be Tom Gray. And so the church prays and fasts. And then we come together and we say, what should we do? Is this from God? And the church speaks and says, we think Tom Gray should be our pastor. Now, there's a real sense where we say, well, we made that decision. But when you read this from the Scriptures, we should say, oh, God spoke to us. That's why Tom's the pastor. We heard from God because, as one brother in the process says, you know, if it's not against the scriptures in any way, and it can't be proven that it's from sin in any way, well, maybe it's from God that we all desire it and would be happy with it. And that's a good filter to run through of how God speaks through the church. But not just the elders and the deacons, but Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, so he's speaking, and he says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit speaks through the church to send Paul and Barnabas on a mission trip. Have we done that here at Fellowship? Yes, we have. Some of you are not yet. The same way we ask the church to fast and pray and seek the Lord's will to speak to us in giving us a pastor, we did the same thing before Brian went to Africa. And we said, God, speak to us. Brian desires to go to Africa. We desire to be active in Africa, see these orphans cared for, and for them to learn the gospel. So speak to us. We came together as a church. Now, we call it votes, and you don't see a vote. Well, you do see a vote, actually, in chapter 6 of Acts. But that is God speaking. To where Brian can be in Africa on his worst day. He's like, what am I doing here? This is nuts. Oh, yeah. We did have a word from God. Because my brothers and sisters in Christ, God spoke through his Holy Spirit, through the church. So leadership in the church, missions, not only that, discipline in the church. If you would, turn in your Bible to Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. We'll just unpack this a bit to see that this is God speaking. Jesus says, if you have a brother who sins against you, go and tell him. That means use words. His fault between you and him alone. You have a fault or someone sinning against you here in the church, the thing to do, according to Jesus, is to speak it. Say, you're sinning against me. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others among with you. So now we got two to three people, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So now you have this small group going to the brother and saying, you sinned against me. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, the ecclesia, the called out of God. And if he refuses to listen, all right, so there's speaking involved. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector, meaning put him out of the church and he's no longer part of this thing called the called out, and he is the Gentile or the tax collector who has not been called out. It's like, well, wait a minute. That's just one guy and then three guys and then a group of people speaking. Let's keep reading. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus says, when this ecclesia comes together to do this business of loosing and binding, that is heaven's work. That what you do is God doing. Let's keep going. Because this verse that gets so abused is next. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. All this in context of the church disciplining, of brothers trying to get one another to quit sinning against one another. And he says, if two of you agree on this, this is God's work. This isn't about naming and claiming fast cars and mansions or even health. This is about the purity of the church. Because he goes on, for where two or three are gathered in my name, that's the ecclesia, I am among them. So the same way that we prayed and we fasted and we brought Tom and David on, and then Tom on full time as the pastor. And then we prayed and fasted, and we sent Brian in missions. It's the way we pray and we fast and we take action against a brother who would not listen to the first one, listen to the others, or listen to the church. And the lesson there is, that's God speaking. So let's go all the way back to the beginning. And you come to me and say, Tom, you sinned against me. It could very well be God speaking to me if I'm in sin. Right? If I don't listen, and then two of you come, say, Tom, you sinned against this one, or two or three come. That very well could be God. And if the whole church comes to me, say, Tom, you are in sin in this thing, it could very well be God. The Bible says God speaking through them. The problem is we're all sinners, and we're scared to say when the church speaks, God is speaking. But what are we to do? Set it on our hands and not speak? Not do it. We are to humble ourselves, open up the Word of God, see what He has said. Let Him define my sin, your sin, my holiness, your holiness, to where we can have confidence. The same kind of confidence and joy that was among us when we called elders and when we called missionaries. That same type of unity can be with us when we love someone who is in sin. So we've got the Holy Spirit speaking through the church to appoint leaders. Holy Spirit speaking through the church to appoint missionaries. Holy Spirit speaking through the church to discipline members. And then just to reveal the plans of God, He speaks through the church. In Acts chapter 11, verse 28, a guy named Agabus stands up, that means they're gathered as a church, and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. So when the called out are called together and they are a gathering and they are a church, a guy, Agabus, stands up and says, here's what God's doing. And verse 28 says, it was foretold by the Spirit. Agabus doesn't say, hey, I've got a word. He says, the Spirit of God has a word and reveals His plans. In fact, brothers and sisters, I don't think you will find in the New Testament the Holy Spirit speaking in a person, through a person, who is not working in a local church or preparing for one. As you go through your Bible, you're not going to find the person out there being used to speak apart from a church. You're like, wait a minute, wasn't Philip out in the wilderness with the Ethiopian? Yeah, Philip, you know, the one we'd already read about that was appointed a deacon in the church at Jerusalem. Yeah, he was out doing God's work from his church. Well, what about Cornelius? Yeah, an apostle, an elder from the church at Jerusalem, ended up his house. The Spirit spoke to Cornelius and prepared him to hear the word from the local church that gathered in Jerusalem through the apostle Peter. When the church gathers, like we are this morning, we should expect to hear from God through His Holy Spirit. That's why we read the Scriptures. When we have a reading at our call to worship, a reading for adoration, a reading for confession and forgiveness, a Scripture reading and then expounding on it, it's because we want to hear from God. Those are the best, clearest words from God you get in a worship service. And my attempt, week after week in preaching, is to explain those words as pure and clear as I can. We should expect answers from God when we pray together in unity and love and obedience and holiness. We should expect Him to speak. So, simply put, the Holy Spirit of God speaks through His Word, His Son, and His church. So if it's just that simple, that when you're reading, the Holy Spirit spoke those words. When you read the words of Jesus, when you hear the church proclaim, what should we do? What should we do? Number one, in way of application, beg God for ears to hear. Let me tell you one of the most frightening events in the Bible. Jesus stands up, speaks, and it says, some believed, and others planned his crucifixion. One sermon, one ministry, some people hear it and believe it, some people hear it and hate it. And Jesus uses this phrase over and over again, blessed are you if you have ears to hear. I don't know if you've ever wondered. Nick and I was Tuesday night at Prayers for Prodigal. Why in the world, how scandalous it is that I, who sat in the next to a pew and grew up going to youth events with this guy and this guy and this girl and this girl, and here I am trusting in Christ, believing in Christ, treasuring Christ, and some of them aren't. It makes no sense. Except grace, the grace of God that gave me ears to hear. If God speaks through Scripture, God speaks through His Son, God speaks through His church, through all three of those, through the Spirit, we should beg Him that we would hear Him in that. It is terrifying to think how many times I've read the Word of God, spoken by the Spirit of God, and did not have ears to hear it. Because what Jesus says in the parable, the Word was trampled on in my mind and my heart, the Word was carried away in my mind or heart, or just choked because of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And I went on unchanged, because nothing got through these big ears. Beg God for ears to hear His Holy Spirit speak to His Scripture, His Son, and His church. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Read the Bible and be intimately involved with your local church. Let your Bible reading not be a chore, not be just a goal to gain knowledge, but to become intimately involved with God Himself through His Holy Spirit. Read your Bible that way. Come to church that way. When you have a problem, ask people to pray. Ask people in this church to pray. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to marry. You don't know where to go to school. You don't know where to work. Nobody else knows all this stuff either. And you don't always get clear. It's not like the church is going to stand up and say, Isaac, Duke. But what the church can do is speak into that from the Scriptures and pray. And God, if He so chooses, in His sovereignty, could say, you, like He did Paul, don't go there and share the gospel. Or you, go there and share the gospel. God can do that. So we should listen. So pray for ears to hear and listen, and we should expect to hear from God. We should expect it. We should open our Bibles expecting the God of the universe to speak. We should come to church every Sunday morning with this normal week in, week out routine, expecting God to work and speak through His Holy Spirit. He can speak in many ways. He can do whatever He wants. He is God. He can do anything He pleases. But they are going to involve, one way or another, His Word, His Son, and His church. You cannot spurn the Word of God, the Son of God, and the Church of God and expect to hear from God through His Holy Spirit. You will not. You will not. Lastly, I want to read. For some reason, I've lost it. And it just is sticking in my mind. We'll see if we'll come together. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says about God speaking through His Son. Long ago, and many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. We showed clearly that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, and through whom He created the world. This Spirit of God the Father and God the Son that we call the Holy Spirit dwelt in Christ and created the world. Dear church, where is He today? The Spirit that hovered over the waters, the deep waters, and the formless and void lives inside of you. Lives inside of God's children. You wonder how does God speak to the church? It's not because of democracy. It's because it's His Spirit indwelling. And the expectation is that we hear from God from the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Brothers and sisters, this is good news. This Holy Spirit that speaks lives inside of you. So that ears to hear is bubbling waters coming out of you. This understanding, it's not some mystical thing. It's God inside of you, working in your heart and your brain, your mind and your affections to teach you and sanctify and grow you. All the other things we're going to see. You don't have to go to Jerusalem and climb a mountain. You don't have to find a certain calf. We're not waiting on something. God speaks through His Word, His Son, and His people. Through His Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Praise be to God. We can hear Him speak. This is not some mystical ninja thing to hear from God. So read your Bible, pray, go to church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your Spirit who dwells inside of us because Christ died and paid for our sins and prepared us for Your Spirit. Father, I thank You that You speak. How dark this world would be is if the last word our family heard was leave the garden. And if You never spoke again, and if Your Word hadn't become flesh. Father, You let us unite ourselves to You in faith, expecting to hear You through Your Word, Your Son, and Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.